Good morning there to the folks at Bethany. Glad to be here with you today. I just pray that through this time, it's been a long time since I've been over at Bethany. Obviously with everything going on as well, it hasn't helped. So it's good to be with you today. Things have changed quite a bit over the last year for us, Pamela and I especially. I'm hoping all of you do know, but we had a baby boy last April, Rory, and he is, he's made the year very interesting for us on what could have been a very uninteresting year, but it's had its ups and downs like any other year in life, but I do trust that you're okay, and that I'll hopefully get to see you soon. Anyway, today we are going to have, I'm going to share a wee message from Exodus chapter 14. I'm going to have my Bible app read that out to us. Hopefully the words will be able to come up on the screen. I see that happens normally at your services. I've tried to read this out over video quite a few times, and I'm always making a mistake. So I'm going to let the audio book and the Bible app read that out, and hopefully you'll be able to hear that fine. Thanks.
Exodus 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." So the Israelites did this. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi Hahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water, so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He jammed the wheels of their chariots so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day, the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant.
Thanks for listening to all that. I thought it was important that we read the whole chapter. If you're thinking that that's going to make me go on a bit too long, fear not, this will be a short message. So really I'm looking at Exodus and thinking about this impossible situation that the Israelites were in. They had been just granted their freedom from Egypt, and Pharaoh had changed his mind and decided that he didn't want to let them go. After all those plagues and all the time it took him to decide, he decided that the pros of getting rid of these things didn't outweigh the cons, so he wanted them back. So really what we're thinking about is trusting God when there's no other way out, because when you look at the Israelites, they're in a difficult place. They have been guided here and they're looking onto a sea, the Red Sea, and they're looking back and the Egyptian armies are coming. So it's okay to read it and know the ending because it's quite a famous story from the Bible, but to actually live it is quite difficult. Difficult times can lead us to a point where our backs are up against the wall and you think to yourself, how did we even get there? I mean, this year, how did we even get here? Been told not to leave our homes, been told not to see family and friends, been told all these different things to try and keep everyone safe, but our freedom has been taken away from us. Now, I'm not saying that, I'm not being political. Obviously, there was a good reason for that. But the Israelites had a good reason to want to leave Egypt. They were slaves. They weren't paid for their work. I'm pretty sure they didn't get annual leave. And God had guided them to exactly where he wanted them to be. The Red Sea was at their backs. Pharaoh and the army were coming in hot pursuit. Only God could provide a way out of this. Sometimes when we see our situation, this could be any situation. It could be a situation personal to you, or you could think about it through this time of COVID-19, where we see the impossible situation and we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. And we cry out to God like the Israelites cried out to God. And they moaned at Moses, and we moan at our church leaders. Why is God doing this? Why are you doing this? That's what happens here in this chapter of Exodus. We obviously know the story, we know how it ends, but it doesn't stop how powerful a moment it is in the Bible. I think of this, and when we look back, quite a lot of the times I've listened to preachers preach about times past where there's been a lesson learned. And but what we have definitely learned is that living during uncertain times is a lot harder than looking back at it. God, however, in this situation with the Israelites, he was thinking outside the box. No one could have predicted that God was going to part the sea. Because we know the story, we just know that that's going to happen. Most folk who know have heard anything about the Bible, it's one of the most famous stories. So if you don't know it, then I'm sorry about that. But most of us watching will probably have heard or known this story. It was, and you know, we didn't, the people there would not have been able to even fathom that happening. When difficult times happen, it's easy to be afraid. It's easy to turn our back on things that we know. But if we trust in God, we know that God knows what's best. And in this situation with the Red Sea, we know that God knew better. God saved the Israelites. He didn't just save the Israelites. You'll notice that it said Moses was told that the people will see the salvation. See the salvation of the people. They'll see it for themselves. And it's not just about the Israelites. The Egyptian army go in to the dry ground on the river, on the sea, the Red Sea. And they're faced with a different outcome from the Israelites. The Israelites see the way that God has provided, and they take it. The Egyptian armies go after them through this way out, and they're met with judgment. This story, to bring it all in, where is Jesus in this story? This is from the Old Testament. Jesus hasn't been born into earth as a man. Where is he? Well, it's quite clear to me that we see Jesus in this passage when we think about it. The Israelites, God saved them despite all of their unbelief. He saved them despite their unbelief in him, in God, and their confidence in their leader Moses had gone. They thought they were going to die. They thought they'd been taken out to the desert and die. But God showed them, showed the people his salvation. So they were told to wait and see. And, you know, it's not very often you're told to wait and see. With COVID, we've been told to wait. We've been told to wait quite a while. I think everyone will agree with that. But also, we can see the way of salvation from God, because we can look to the cross where Jesus died. He's provided a way for us to be saved. And that's really important. Jesus, when he was on the cross, died for our sins. And it's important to know that those who believe in him are a bit like the Israelites. I don't know about you, but the last 18 months have been really difficult for people that I know, for me, for Pamela, for our friends and our family. And we know to trust in God. No one's debating that. The Israelites knew they should be trusting in God. They cried out to him. and they also slurred Moses, thinking they were going to die. We should look to Jesus for our strength, but it doesn't always make it easy. So we are like the Israelites. Even though our unbelief is seen by many, we still believe, we still trust, even if we go through periods of time where unbelief creeps in through difficulty. We would all like to be the model Christian who always trusts, always knows, and always puts their faith in God. That perfect example of Jesus that we strive to be. However, despite all of our unbelief, because we have trusted in Christ, we will be saved. The Egyptians, on the other hand, they didn't truly, after seeing so many plagues, they didn't believe in the God of Israel. They had many gods, many false gods, and they have a part in this story as well. Not only do we see God's salvation for those who believe, the Israelites who crossed the sea, we see God's judgment in the Egyptians who didn't believe, who didn't fear the Lord, and didn't trust in Him. They trusted in their own false gods. And you see this as how they're dealt with. They're crossing the same way the Israelites cross, and they don't come out alive. It took one act for us to be able to be saved from our sins. That's Jesus on the cross. And I've trusted in Him. Have you trusted in Jesus on the cross? That is the one act in which we can be saved. That one act is God's way of us being able to escape the judgment that we deserve. But also, if you do not believe, sadly, it is like the Egyptians who did not believe, you will still come under judgment of God. So I pray that everyone listening today will praise God for what Jesus has done for them. He has taken the punishment for our sins. And I pray that you too will know Jesus and take Him into your life and be saved from the judgment of God. I hope that that was of benefit to you. I hope, truly hope, to see all the folks at Bethany soon. And I really, truly hope for our churches that we will be able to meet together in our halls. So I just pray that that will be the case. And I'll pass back over to Lindsay. And thanks for listening to me today. If you have any questions, you can contact the folks at Bethany. And if you had any questions for me, you can also contact the folks from Bethany and they can pass that on. But thank you for your time today, and I hope you've enjoyed listening, and please do take up that invitation to trust in Jesus. Salvation for us, a gift for free. Thank you.